Please tune back during broadcast hours. 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 Please tune back during broadcast hours.
Uncle Buzz. Amen. That was touching, wasn't it?
I was.
Well, at least he'll be happy and high if he's locked up.
Yeah, I guess if he can get it in prison, get something.
Well, here's another question. Will the log cabin Republicans endorse the president? We'll find out during the Republican National Convention. But during this weekend's log cabin Republican convention, they didn't seem very happy about the president's decision to support a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. Will it make a difference to the president in 2004? Joining us now in the studio is journalist, commentator, and humorist, and my friend at times, David Rakoff. David has a big piece focusing on log cabin Republicans in GQ magazine on the newsstands today. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Good morning.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you write, other than the culture guy in Queer Eye, Patrick Guerrero just might have the worst gay job in America. Will you tell us who he is and why you say that?
Patrick Guerrero is the executive director of Log Cabin Republicans, which is a national organization about 10,000 strong. It's a membership organization. Although there are apparently, according to exit polls in 2000, a million gay, lesbian, Republican
how's
voters.
How is that possible?
You mean how did they possibly gather the data, or how is it possible that gay and lesbian Republicans exist?
Yeah, that would be the question.
Well, that's the mystery, of course, and that was the mystery that I went in with. But I find Jewish Republicans mystifying. You know, so I'm
any Republicans you find kind of mystifying?
No, there are a few Republicans I think are right on the money. I think Dick Cheney could only be a Republican.
How did I know
he
was going to say that?
But the Jews you can kind of understand in the Zionist way, can't you?
No, absolutely not.
Not.
I still can't understand Jewish Republicans. But that's about my upbringing, you know. I was.
My parents were not. They didn't have a party affiliation. They were just narcissistic.
Well, there's definitely that, and surely that might redound to Republicanism. But Patrick Guerrero is the executive director of the Log Cabin Republicans, and it is his job to somehow justify their existence to people like us. Mm-hmm. You know, here we just had a little, you know, amusing little riff on how mystified we are. That's the constant reaction he gets. That's
right.
All he ever contends with. Either among
from
Republicans,
anybody.
From anybody, on all along the political spectrum, that's all he gets.
Right.
Is, what are you? You know, people sort of poke and prod and palpate. Everybody becomes Darwin in the Galapagos and Patrick is some, you know, astonishing species that seems to be pouring the A1 sauce over his own head, begging to be devoured.
So what does he say? How does he justify it?
Well, the way they justify it is that they are not single-issue voters.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't fall into a party line according to their sexual orientation, that there are many reasons that they're Republicans, and they are really Republican. They're not like Olympia Snowe. They're actually conservative Republicans. I don't know that they're anti-choice, for example, but many people aren't. But they're genuinely Republican. Mm-hmm. They're not making it up.
Right.
And I think that the justification is that it doesn't fall according to sexual identity politics.
But at what point can the administration get to so offensive, yes, that they're not single-issue voters, but at what point does the administration alienate even gay Republicans with the no gay marriage issue?
Well, here we go. I mean, this is where they find themselves now. It's like that old game that you played in pre-adolescence called Chicken or Go, where you placed your hand on ever higher up some girl's extremities.
Darn, I missed that bit. I didn't put my hand on girl's extremities.
Well, I did too. I mean, you know, my placement on the Kinsey scale means that I also missed that bit. But it's that kind of thing, like, how far does it need to go? And things have really accelerated for the Log Cabin Republicans in terms of this question of faith. Things have accelerated for all gay rights groups everywhere.
In terms of this question of...
Well, last June, you know, Lawrence v. Texas in the Supreme Court decriminalized sodomy.
Yeah.
Consensual.
Finally.
Yeah, exactly.
So just in one state.
Yeah. Things
still,
are a little easier
still...
in the Marin household now. But it's in Texas, but it was federal. And so they decriminalized that. And it's weird. It's amazing, actually, there isn't a disco song with the following title, Blame It on Antonin Scalia, because it was in his dissent where he basically unleashed this barrage of developments, which is, he basically said, it's the end of morals-based legislation. If you let this happen, everything will happen. There will be a cascade of, you know,
that's
inflammation.
That's
and
free for all.
It's a bit apocalyptic, isn't it?
Yes, and literally everything.
People marrying their cars, having sex with dogs publicly, everything.
Exactly, and up to and including gay marriage. And suddenly the debate accelerated, and the far right really kicked into action, and every gay rights group across from left to right was caught unawares, and suddenly we're now debating the right of people to get married. Not civil unions, but actual marriage, you know, which is... So that's where they find themselves, and everybody is scrambling.
I don't understand. I was at the Republican convention in Philly 4 years ago. And I actually ran into a couple of Log Cabin Republicans, black Log Cabin Republicans, on the floor of the First Union Center.
That's wild!
And the visceral distaste that those delegates had for both blacks and gays, I felt, that person felt. How could somebody, never mind George W. Bush, let's talk about the party itself. There are people, elements inside this party, who detest the idea of people being gay. Never mind gay marriage. detest the idea of having to share an arena with gay people.
Oh, yeah.
So how do they reconcile it?
They just feel they need the votes?
Well, no, I think that the gay Republicans' reconciliation of that to you would probably be, look, we're the big tent party. You know, we comprise many elements. So this is the thing. They say big tent all the time.
They're fighting for the rights within the party to define themselves as Republican no matter what?
That's the thing. I was with Guerrero at one point, and I told him this old joke that I had grown up with in my family, this grim joke about anti-Semitism, which is, what is the definition of a kike?
Yeah,
what it's is a it? Jewish gentleman who has just left the room.
Yeah.
I think it's a British joke, not surprisingly. But it's that kind of thing.
I'm not sure about that. We don't have the monopoly on bad taste racist jokes.
That's a good joke.
Just because we've been around longer than you guys. Don't stick it on us.
But you know what I mean. It's that kind of thing. I think that they deal with a lot of civility, although not kindness. And then I think when they're out of the room, it just erupts.
Is there any reconciliation? I mean, it seems ridiculous. It seems impossible.
I don't see there being any reconciliation.
Is there any chance that this is just a big cultural phase that all these guys are going through?
You mean the Log Cabin Republicans? Yeah. That was definitely my feeling, because this is the thing. You don't want to, you know, you spend 10 minutes with them, you realize they're not evil.
Yeah.
They're really not stupid. I mean, these guys are really smart. And they've spent their lives in politics.
Successful, right? Most of them make quite a bit of money in their big campaign contributors.
But are they fun?
No. I mean, they're not that fun. But then again, I'm not that fun. I suck the fun right out of the room. No, the ones who actually work for the Log Cabin Republicans, they've been working in politics their whole lives, so they actually don't make that much money. So they've really opted for public service. So on some level, even though I think they're on the wrong side of the debate, they're kind of admirable. They're not
Yeah,
they're
they've
not
made
evil.
A sacrifice.
Yeah. So it's just breaks your heart every time you're with them. And you do keep on thinking they're going to be like, psych.
Do they run that same the same thing that some black Republicans do about the Party of Lincoln and how?
Why do you think they're called the Log Cabin Republicans?
I know, but that's tired. Black Republicans run that. Well, you know, he freed the slaves, blah blah blah. But that has nothing to do with Dick Cheney.
Well, it's a more catchier name than the self-deluded lemmings.
Really? I think they should modernize and become the Yoga Spa Republicans. I mean,
well, that would be a great idea. The Yoga Spa Republicans certainly.
That'd be a lot more fun.
David Rakoff, journalist. Let me ask you. Tell me about this guy Knight. Give me that line from the piece, man.
Robert Knight is. I called up. There was this thing called Marriage Protection Week when I was in Washington in October, which was basically this coalition of far right organizations to protect marriage, because previously their objection to gay people was that we were so promiscuous, and so in response to that, well, we'll get married, and now their
response they just assume that getting married means no sex. That was really dumb.
Well, it's the old thing about you don't walk by an amputee on the street and suddenly doubt the existence of your own leg. So it just seems that suddenly their gay marriage is going to threaten their own marriages. So I called up the Concerned Women for America, which is one of the main people organizations spearheading this Marriage Protection Week, to see if I could speak with a concerned woman. And instead they sent me to Robert Knight, who is the head of one of their affiliate organizations. And Knight has this long pedigree of right-wing foundation work. And we spoke for about an hour. And he is just obsessed with gay sex.
Yeah. Like
all we could do was talk about gay sex. And I didn't bring it up. I'm not that interested in gay sex.
David, I'm sorry. We are out of time. It was great talking to you, David.
Okay, really was. Come back and see us, huh?
I hope so.
A lot of fun. I'm just concerned about how the bad sex lives Republicans must be having. Anyway, Mark is going to take us, Mark Maron, to today's Recovery Corner, and we'll also find out why the U.S. flag was flying at half-staff at McDonald's. Stay with us on Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There's a possibility that President Bush may have broken the law in his quest to launch war with Iraq. Democratic think tank, the Center for American Progress, says Bush's diversion of $700 million that was meant for Afghanistan into planning the war in Iraq without congressional consent was illegal. The Bush administration is revising its planned overhaul of the nation's overtime rules to reduce the paychecks of far fewer white-collar workers logging more than 40 hours a week. The administration is hopeful doubtful such a move will score points in the November election. Honduras is joining Spain in wanting to remove troops out of Iraq. As the unrest there escalates, President Bush expressed concern about Spain's withdrawal, fearing it will send the wrong signal to the terrorists in the country. And the United States government is keeping a tight lip on the killing Monday of two employees of a Pentagon-funded television station in Iraq. The American forces opened fire on the Iraqi journalists while they were performing their duty. Not even an apology or a comment from the U.S. on this one. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
As a child, she's kidnapped by another tribe. Later, she's won in a game by a traitor. She's just 14 when, in the brutal winter of 1804, she has a son. A son she'll carry some 7,000 miles on a journey no man has ever made, with Lewis, Clark, and the Corps of Discovery. This alone is enough to make Sacagawea a hero. But there's more. She pulls her weight. She shares her knowledge. She speaks her mind. Sacagawea is known for her role as a cultural translator. But she was much more, because as William Clark noted, a woman and a mother with a party of men is a symbol of peace. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. Because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
I guess that is so.
With Mark Maron and Sue Ellicott, I'm Mark Riley on Air America Radio. You know, McDonald's, folks, is one company, one big company, that goes out of its way to avoid controversy. Over the years, they've decided that there are certain TV shows, certain radio programs that they simply will not advertise on because they're too controversial. Well, they've stepped directly into a controversy on the heels of the tragic death of company CEO James Cantalupo, who died in Orlando yesterday, while preparing to speak to a group of franchisees. Some restaurants in the chain, particularly in Florida, because he died in Orlando, lowered their flags to half staff. That has angered more than one veterans group, particularly in South Florida. They say the flag shouldn't be lowered for the death of a non-veteran or a non-government employee.
Isn't that missing the point? Wouldn't you think they'd be more likely to want to keep it quiet that the head of McDonald's died of a heart attack?
Well,
that's not great advertising, is it, for your product?
Yeah, but how do you keep it secret when he's getting ready to speak to a public gathering?
I also think it's not really seeing, you know, who the truly powerful people are in the world. That, you know, McDonald's, I mean, this guy, first of all, I mean, come on, he deserves as much respect as a veteran, especially after what he went through in the Burger Wars a few years back, you know what I mean? And there were no parades for them. And I think the first time that McDonald's lowered their flags to a half-mast was when they opened, and you know, commemorating the death of cuisine altogether.
That's terrible. Well, you know, do they have a McDonald's flag? I have no
idea.
Yeah,
it's got the M on it.
Just lower that and don't lower the American flag?
No, I agree with you, but I think that, you know, McDonald's is just short of having its own military arm, really. I mean, they're that big and they're that international.
Are they putting fixed bayonets on, chasing people into the store?
Well, they're certainly shoving hamburgers down their throats in every corner of the world. Not, like, really shoving them through, but, you know, just sort of like, you know, eat McDonald's. People eat it all over the world all the time.
And they're very contemporary now. You know, I'm loving it. That's their latest.
We got salads
really?
Now.
But people are not loving it. People are not. I mean, they are... People are criticizing it.
Oh, they criticize it.
They
always criticize. People have been criticizing McDonald's since the day they opened. But
has anybody eaten a McDonald's salad? Didn't I read somewhere that with all the dressing and the cheese and whatever else in there, it has kind of more calories in the McDonald's salad than in, you know, one of their burgers? Fat or more calories in the salad? You may as well go and have the Big Whopper.
The Whopper.
Yeah, the Whopper.
Oh, is it? That's how much junk food I eat. I can't even tell the
I stopped eating McDonald's years ago because I saw actually a piece of comic art that changed my life about the way they manufactured their meat. And then after I read Fast Food Nation,
yeah, right,
that blew my mind.
Right,
and that, but I'll tell you, the weird thing about Schlosser's book, though, is that, like, it really, you know, there are certain parts of it where you really have a tremendous amount of respect and sort of like...
For whom?
for the way that McDonald's came about, for the entrepreneurial spirit of it, and before it was franchised, and also for the dude who develops the potatoes for McDonald's. That sort of success story about that guy Jewel and how they created this very specific potato only to make the know, McDonald's fries as consistent as they are, and that they're only cut fresh. And like there's some things I miss about McDonald's, and that would be the fry and just the plain
the fry.
Yeah, the fry.
The one fry.
And the cheeseburger.
See, I came up on fast food. Yeah. I came up, and this was right when fast food had begun to spread out nationally, even before McDonald's. There's a place called
Val. People began to spread out nationally.
Well, yeah. And in those days, you know, kids ran around so much, they burned up all the calories they ate from McDonald's anyway.
I remember when the Big Mac came out.
Yeah.
Don't you? And it had that cardboard ring around it that had 100% pure beef on it.
Pure
the
beef,
Big Mac.
Yeah. All beef patties and all of that. But now, and I'm sure that I think the one place where they started the controversy raised the flag back up again. But I guess it's just another sign that, you know, the country is obsessed with symbolism.
Yeah, and I guess that the golden arches don't rank up there with you know, things that should be, you know, saluted
or on that level.
Respected on that level.
That's right. Ronald McDonald can fly at half staff. A Catholic priest in Wyoming has come up with a novel defense for molesting a teenager back in the early 1980s. Anthony Jablonowski said that he molested this guy, and by the way, he pleaded no contest.
Yeah.
He did it for spiritual reasons, not for sexual gratification.
Everybody practices differently. You know, I mean, I think that's what he's really saying.
Practices what?
Everyone has a different approach to their faith.
Uh-huh.
What did he do? He hung guys up.
It's a disgusting story.
Yeah, it is kind of nasty.
He gagged them.
We don't have to get into it. Let's say he did sexually abuse and torture this kid.
But to have
who's in his 30s now, by the way.
Yeah, to have that identification in his mind now forever because of this heinous priest who abused him. Now, like, you know, he identifies, you know, religion with pain and guilt.
And guilt,
in
yeah.
such a deep sexual way that it must almost be like Mel Gibson.
Well, the priest has been sentenced. Now, this is an interesting sentence. From 15 months to 7 years. That's a pretty wide kind of, wide open kind of sentence.
What is that kind of sentence?
It's like a year and 3 months to 7 full years.
Don't they just make a decision, or is it up to him not to,
No, that's what the judge sentenced him to.
That's bizarre.
It's like zero to life, you know. I mean, it's one of those sentences that just seems to be way too open. And what it implies is he'll be out fairly soon. I mean,
right.
But doesn't it imply that the judge will take the lead from some kind of, you know, probation officer or people who assess whether the guy is getting any kind of treatment, therapy, shows any kind of remorse, and they can assess whether the guy is still completely whacked out and screwed up and...
If he's
as
not
it clearly is.
Hurting other inmates' genitals and saying, you know, this is how we pray.
I think we should just be moving on from this.
Well.
I'm even turned off my breakfast water.
Oh, because
your breakfast water?
Because of the story?
Well, I would have coffee if there were a machine around here.
You never had Egg McMuffins or nothing, Sue?
When I was a teenager, my parents lived in Hong Kong, and our biggest treat was to eat all those big apple pies and have those chocolate shakes. And I do like the chocolate shakes, and I do like the fries, but I just trained myself kind of years ago to get off that stuff. I don't think I've been into a fast food place. I'd rather go hungry than I would eat that stuff.
I used to eat Wendy's a lot in high school.
Every now and then, I will get a yen for a McDonald's fish sandwich because I don't eat red meat.
Fish sandwich, interesting.
Yeah.
That's
I'll get the fish sandwich because it's.
I don't know. Cool. I don't know a lot of McDonald's fish sandwich people. The fish witch.
It's better than the other fish.
Isn't it called the fish witch?
It's just called the fish sandwich. They just call it a fish sandwich.
Fish witch, I guess, was boxed ones.
It's a cultural thing, though. I mean, you grow up here, you just can't escape it. I mean, if you grow up in Europe and there's more fast food now, in fact, Britain has the biggest obesity problem in Europe. They've adopted very much American eating habits.
That's one of the first things that we actually ship to you guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Usually it comes the other way.
We gave you bad jokes. You gave us fast food. I'm not sure who got the worst end of the deal.
I don't know.
Well, speaking of the worst end of the deal, does the world need another Walmart? There appears to be one growing in Germany, according to an article in Business Week. A company called the Aldi, depending on what part of the country you're from. A chain of stores in Germany has managed to draw both rich and working class people like through their doors. An astonishing 89% of all the people in Germany shopped in this place during the past year.
Right, wow. So it's kind of like Target. I love those stores.
Yeah, yeah, but no, there's no, but not even Walmart has that level of
price. Well, so are they going to go worldwide once they figure out a way to define their uniform and flag?
Yeah, right. I'm wondering if they're going to open one like in suburban Jersey somewhere.
Well, we took pretty well to IKEA. I think if they have like kind of funky, groovy German stuff in there that we can buy, maybe people will like it.
Well, the reason why people shop there in such huge numbers is because of the prices. You can buy stuff like really, really cheap. And they have the superstore concept. You can buy everything from food to trench coats to overalls.
So
whatever.
What's the downside? Why are we debating whether this is a great thing or not? Sounds good.
Well, let's see whether or not they're locking their employees in the stores overnight like Walmart.
Well, you know what? I would say there is better employment practices in Europe than there is here. People will get in Germany at least get health care. They get mandatory 6 weeks vacation. They probably can't open in America because the deals they'll be offering them employees will be too good.
Yeah.
Don't trash the European supermarket, guys.
It'd be like outsourcing for them to open up places here.
They probably can't afford to do business here.
Yeah. Well, if they're going to pay.
Did you ever buy food at IKEA?
Yeah, meatballs.
Yeah, once.
Those meatballs,
but now they have
ginger
a whole
biscuits.
Food section. You know, they got the herring, and they got all kinds of. They got it all there now. Yeah, if you like that kind of weird Swedish food, like our producer Jonathan, Swede.
Is he Swedish?
Do you eat herring, dude?
I thought he was, like, finished.
All right, we're going to Recovery Corner up next, and we're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. Do you think President Bush should be impeached? Let us know at Air America.
Air America Radio. It helped Jared lose 100 pounds. To be or not to be, that is the question.
Well, actually, for New York's Roundabout Theater Company, whether or not they're going to be is no question at all. Over 800,000 people enjoy their productions every year. And in just the last 10 years, Roundabout has won 15 Tonys and 18 Drama Desk Awards. But the only prize they didn't have was a theater all their own. But that's now changed, thanks in part to a bond issue insured by American Capital Access. The funds raised have helped Roundabout buy Studio 54, the same space where they packed audiences with a 5-year run of Cabaret. The building is ideal for Roundabout staging of classic American musicals. And the bonds are pitch perfect for New York investors. They're fully insured by ACA, so they deliver a higher yield without higher risk. And for city residents, they're triple tax exempt. Around this time of year, that makes for savings even your accountant can get theatrical about. To learn more, ask your broker about ACA-insured bonds or visit us at ACA.com.
Maybe you can drive my car, and maybe I love you.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm Nick Cannon for Rad.
What's up? I'm Beyonce.
Hey, hey, I'm Kelly.
Hello, I'm Michelle.
And we're Destiny's Child.
What's up, y'all? It's Eve.
Hey, this is Meredith Edwards for Rad, and I'm here to remind you that friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council. Yeah!
Breast cancer. Words that can provoke despair. But since 1993, a dedicated group founded by Evelyn Lauder has been working to make certain no one ever has to hear those words again. Hello, I'm Kate Burton. The Breast Cancer Research Foundation, now in its 10th anniversary year, is proud to have raised more than $70 million. This year, 87 cents of every dollar you donate to the foundation will go directly to breast cancer research and awareness programs. In the U.S. alone, nearly 40,000 women and men die from breast cancer each year. You can do something powerful. Your support will help us achieve prevention and cure. Let's give breast cancer the punch it deserves and knock it out for good. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-FIND-A-CURE or visit www.bcrfcure.org. That's 1-866-FIND-A-CURE or bcrfcure.org. Thank you.
Hi, this is Emily Richards for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. One person's negligence shattered my life in a single instant. You see, my little sister Annie was killed by a drunk driver. Please remember those you love. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The O'Franken Factor.
Senator John Kerry on the line.
Hey, Al, how are you?
I'm doing very well, sir.
Good to be on your show now that you've been on the air over a week, because I like being part of a long tradition, Al.
Air America's Al Franken.
How do you respond to charges that you're more trustworthy than President Bush?
I respond affirmatively.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer, weekdays noon to 3 on Air America Radio.
Hey, it's about 15 before the hour, and I'm Mark Maron, along with Sue Alcott and Mark Riley here on Air America. We're going to be taking your calls at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-AAR0. But right now, I'd like to say my name's Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Thank you. And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean on this day, one day at a time, the only day that's important, today. Today I'm reaching out to my my sponsee, George W. Okay, look, buddy, you know, this is the fifth step. You know, you stole $700 million from the Afghanistan war to put towards the Iraq war. So now you need to take responsibility for your actions, okay? You know, first of all, who have you hurt? Well, let's start with the first six articles of the Constitution. Basically, you've mugged a wrinkled, yellow 200-year-old who's done nothing but help you. Repeat after me, George. I am sorry, Constitution. I'm sorry. Now, the taxpayers, okay, you screwed them a little, too. We thought that money was going to fight Al-Qaeda, not to Halliburton executives in Iraq. You were secretive and selfish and self-centered and to the people that pay you. So repeat after me. I'm sorry, taxpayers, and I will make a financial restitution, amends to you, taxpayers. We want all of it. We want it all back, the $700 million. And finally, you've offended Al-Qaeda. You started a nice, juicy holy war, and then halfway into it, you just turn around and run off to Iraq. Is that right? Is that right? I mean, give Al-Qaeda the attention they need and deserve. Repeat after me, President George W. Sorry, George W. Repeat after me. I'm sorry, Al-Qaeda. Okay, I'm proud of you. All right? One step at a time, let go and let God keep it simple. Think. God doesn't wake up and think he's you. Are you sober today? Good. There you go.
It's just that restitution was too long a word for him.
Restitution.
Yeah, he thinks that means lying around.
Restitution.
He thinks he's lying around eating ice cream.
Yeah.
A little bit of R&R. Isn't that restitution?
I think I said restitution. Didn't I say that?
Yeah, you said restitution. But you corrected yourself. That's a word.
Is that a word?
By the way, I got to correct myself. Aldi already is in the States. They're planning on opening 40 stores a year until they get to 1,000.
Who is?
Aldi. That's a German giant.
Oh, wow. 40,000 stores a year?
No, 40 stores a year.
Oh, so they reach 40,000 stores
a year. Coming to that Starbucks, 40,000 stores a year. Coming to a Starbucks near you, why don't they merge with Starbucks?
40,000 Aldi stores a year. There are no more towns, only Aldi stores.
No more homes.
With their own zip codes. All right, so we got calls coming in. Is it happening?
I believe we do.
Beautiful. Diane, Chicago. How are you?
Hi, welcome back to Chicago.
Oh, good. A pleasure to be back.
I was actually calling to comment on the Aldi story because Aldi is a great store. I've been shopping there for years and years. They treat their employees really well. They have reasonable opening hours.
Do you commute from Chicago?
there's tons of Aldi stores in Chicagoland area. And, in fact, the two brothers that own Aldi also own, one of them also owns Trader Joe's, which is a...
Oh, I love Trader Joe's. You can't live without Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's is great. There's none here, though. There's one out on the island.
Trader
Joe's is known for having good quality, reasonably priced stuff. And during the California strike, when Albertsons and Safeway employees were all out because they were all union and they were treated unfairly, Trader Joe's actually paid their employees more than the union employees got at Albertsons and Safeway.
Ooh. Yeah, I remember that. I was out there for that whole strike. You know, it was pretty pretty nasty. And I guess the workers did finally made a pretty good agreement for themselves.
Well, yeah, but you look at what they had to do it.
And months.
Trader Joe's, in the meantime, gives their employees better benefits and better hourly wages and more reasonable working conditions.
Yeah, and they're a lot happier. You go in there and you're sort of like, is this a cult or something? And they're just sort of, you know, happy employees because they're taken care of so well.
Well, I think it just goes to show that, you know, you can make money being reasonable.
Absolutely.
And being an employee as well.
Absolutely. And by selling really good, you know, sort of pre-prepared meals.
Mm-hmm. Well,
excellent. I used to go backwards and forth. I'd go to London with suitcases full of the Trader Joe's tortillas because you can't get Mexican stuff in
Which
London.
Which ones? The handmade ones or just the
handmade and the actually the big spelt, the brown ones, the spelt ones.
My wife
loves
the
handmade corn ones, all of them actually, because you know, the other ones are only 49 cents a pack.
Yeah, I love. I'm very addicted to Trader Joe's. I got to admit.
And their breakfast cereals.
Tom,
okay.
Long Island. Tom, are you there? He's number one, Chris. He's number one. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great. I love your show. I'm so glad to see there's finally a voice on the radio for guys like us.
Oh, thanks.
And guys,
man.
Too.
Thanks.
I got to say, though, this Bush thing with this impeachment, I really hope it goes through. This is the most, like, unbelievably corrupt administration I personally witnessed. And quite frankly, I'm amazed something's sticking.
Yeah, I'm you're amazed what?
I'm amazed that something can actually stick.
I hope so. You know, I really, you know, when I first read this story, you know, when I heard about it yesterday, I literally, you know, I don't know about you, but like whenever I see that there's a window or a possibility that this guy might go down or that he could be embarrassed in a really big way,
right.
I literally get excited.
My jaw, I listened to this on the Randy Rhoads show, who really rocks.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, my jaw hit the floor, and I consider myself a cynic.
Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable.
I mean, wasn't the point of Dead or Alive to get Bin Laden?
Yeah, exactly. And like, it's almost like they don't even care about that anymore. They just sort of moved the money over and just executed their, you know, their very aggressive new sort of business strategy to, you know, just take everything in Iraq for themselves.
And what about this plan to show Bandar, Prince Bandar, the plans before Colin Powell saw it?
It just shows you who's in charge of the world, doesn't it?
What was that about?
What was it about? It was about the fixers in, you know, and that's, you know, that's who the Bushes work for on some level. The relationship between the Saudis and the Bush family goes on, you know, it's gone on for years, and it's gone on behind the backs of the American people, and it goes on today. It's all a setup.
My jaw's on the floor, and I hope I can pick it up soon. I mean, really.
Please step over it.
I just hope something happens. I hope that awareness of this gets out there. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Okay, we're going to go to Nick in Jersey City.
Hi, Sue.
You're on the air.
You guys are so funny. It's just great to wake up with you guys in the morning.
Thank you.
You guys had asked about impeaching Bush. I think as hard as it could be, we have to shake up Congress in the local level because we are so – they're just sitting incumbents from year to year, especially here in Jersey and New York. Where
we're talking to Charlie Rangel today.
Well,
we are.
Sure
don't laugh.
Have
we
a
are.
Lot of comments about that. You guys could definitely ask him, you know, what can we do? Well, I mean, we all know what to do, and that's basically stop voting for these incumbents. Well, basically, we never talk about our local representatives having to represent ourselves, especially about issues like censuring Bush or at least impeaching him. I mean, we should. I mean, it would be great to hear from somebody on the local level about, you know, ask us, hey, should we impeach Bush? Or maybe they won't be that direct. Maybe they should say, you know, well, basically we have to send to them a message that says, you guys gave them, you know, you gave the administration just free reign of terror.
Right, they should
us.
Be that direct. They should. They should, like, I think that they should show
but
some cojones.
They won't be. All right? The Republicans have a majority in Congress, and even the people who don't like Bush in the Republican Party are not going to vote to draw up articles of impeachment.
Because they're afraid of their own political future.
Well, because they're...
It's futile.
Yeah, because the RNC will fund a candidate to run against them. They're already... you ever heard of the Club for Growth, this conservative club that they have?
I'm going to say yeah.
They've been running people all over the country against moderate Republicans, and these moderates are who are the best hope for trying to get articles of impeachment.
They're too organized,
gonna,
Mark. They're too organized.
They're not going to cross that line. They will not cross that line, not in an election year.
Damn
certainly
Republicans
not.
And their organization.
Only if it looks as though that Bush becomes a big liability.
Well, yeah.
They want him to stump for them.
Let's talk next to Carlos, who is calling us from the Borough of Kings. Carlos.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
You know, I'm suspicious as all get out about this book. I think there might be some disinformation that they're purposely putting out there. But I got two nuggets for you. They had all their talking heads out yesterday defending the administration.
Which book? The Woodward book?
The Woodward book, of course. So first, Mary Madeline says yesterday that we should be worried about the WMD because they're probably in Syria. So that's one thing.
That's not new, though. They've been saying that since they couldn't, since Hans Blix came back and said there weren't any. Well, they probably transported them to Syria when somebody wasn't looking.
But what stopped them just from saying that those are the Iraqi ones?
And the other one is up on Nightline, probably after your bedtime to get up early for this show. David Frum, the guy who came up with Axis of Evil,
they
hit him with the charge, you know, that Bush only asked his Heavenly Father. And he gets sort of exasperated, and he comes up with this line, that George W. doesn't ask God to tell him what to do, but only for support. So this idea that even God's just like another rubber stamp for him, you know, he doesn't ask for direction.
He just wants approval.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Carlos.
All right. Take care, Carlos.
I don't know if they think the WMDs are really in Syria. Al Jazeera last week on their website reported that Colin Powell had asked the leader of Syria for some kind of, you know, help in figuring out what to do with Iraq. So I think if they felt they were kind of harboring weapons of mass destruction seriously, they wouldn't. They wouldn't want an ally in Syria.
But what would stop them just from saying, "Yeah, those are the ones"? And you know, how do you tell which WMDs are whose?
Well, I mean, this heightens the thing Cheney and Powell. Powell may talk to the Syrians about helping out with Iraq. Remember that Syria was the next country on Cheney's list, right after Iraq.
Right.
Let's go next to John, who is calling us from Ohio. John.
Yes. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey. Well, I don't know exactly if impeaching is going to be the right way to handle it. What I was thinking was maybe if we just kind of captured him and had him stand trial in his own country.
All right, we'll try that. You want to start? You want to get on that, John?
Well, we're looking at the total disregard that this administration has for America, such as... disregard for, I mean, he's kicking open a hornet's nest and he's failing to protect our own borders. I mean, to me, that would be clue number one.
That's a good point, John. Yeah, he's definitely not in touch with the needs of everyday Americans, as he claims to be.
Right. You're looking at total disregard of domestic issues. I mean, where's a medical plan? I believe the people in Iraq, we're paying 100% of theirs.
Right. Medical plan, the economy's not looking good.
All good points.
You're looking at programs that he himself has put into place, but yet he's underfunding. I mean, obviously, you know, preserving the Iraqis is a little more important than pouring money into the No Child Left Behind, supporting our kids.
That's right. Those are all good points, John. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you very, very much for calling. I wonder if he was on the road like one of our earlier callers.
He sounded like he was in the truck.
He sounded like he was in a truck.
I liked his accent, actually. He sounded a very earnest guy. He's very, you know, honest dude, even he's calling like it was.
Well,
calling it like
because,
it is.
You know, again, we're talking to people, I guess, that are listening to us either on satellite
XM.
Or on, either XM or on the Internet. And we thank everyone who is listening to us. Still to come, Mark Maron's presidential daily briefing. Broadcasters back Bono. Plus, is the IRS shilling for the president? This is Air America Radio.
Air America Radio. The laughingstock of talk radio.
Introducing Venture Magazine, the progressive voice for the next generation of market makers. Hi, I'm Kevin Halloran, publisher of Venture, the magazine of risk and reward, where opportunity is seized on every page and where new ideas spring to life. For a free trial issue of Venture, call 866-MY-ISSUE and learn how Samsung steps into the cool as a serious threat to Sony, or how the hidden wealth of Vietnam may fuel the best investment opportunity of the year. In this issue of Venture, you'll discover the emergence of nanotechnology and separate science fact from fiction. Experience intimacy in the City of Angels at the Frank Gehry Design Disney Hall and enjoy the new American splendor. For those who have achieved, those who desire to succeed, and those who dream, Venture is your magazine. Call 866-MY-ISSUE to start your subscription or learn about employment, investment, and partnership opportunities. And remember, in business and in life, always Venture.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio. You're driving home.
In the next hour of Morning Sedition here on Air America, Congressman Charles Rangel, will he push for Democrats to seek the impeachment of President Bush? Plus, Mark will have today's liberal agenda. But first, here are the news headlines at this hour.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The U.S. Supreme Court has a full plate on its hands, having to decide whether the freedom of some 600 suspected terrorists detained in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, should be decided in the American court system. Bush administration considers the detainees as enemy combatants. Lawyers for the detainees say they have not been charged with any improprieties with regard to the 9/11 attacks. Asked to comment on the impending court's decision is Georgetown University law professor Neil Katyal. He says the fundamental question centers on whether the president has a limit on his power in a time of crisis.
It goes to basically the fundamental question of, does the president have any limits at a time of crisis, or should we always defer to what he says and not have independent review by some outside body?
Georgetown University law professor Neil Katyal. President Bush wants to commit new money to train foreign troops to take on peacekeeping missions. Defense officials told the Washington Post that the plan, which calls for the U.S. to spend $660 million over 5 years, would relieve some of the pressure on U.S. soldiers to join such operations. It will train, equip, and provide logistical support to foreign forces, primarily in Africa. Bullet points on Iraq this morning. The U.S.-led forces in the country have maintained their pledge not to resume fighting in the city of Fallujah if the insurgents give up their guns. Chief American Administration spokesman Dan Senor says there still may be as many as 1,000 to 2,000 opposition soldiers in Fallujah. Honduras wants out of Iraq, taking their cue from Spain, and radical Sheikh Muqtada al-Sadr calls for a halt on attacking Spanish troops as they withdraw. State Secretary Colin Powell, according to reports, told the president what the ramifications would be for starting war in Iraq. And moving on to other stories coming out of Iraq this morning, we can tell you that they're keeping the peace in the Najaf. 2,500 American troops are still outside the city awaiting more progress in peace talks there. Air America Radio News.
You're driving home. Which route should you take? You're coming up to the exit. You have 10 seconds to decide. 9, 8, 7. Better tune into XM Satellite Radio with an entire channel devoted to 24-hour instant traffic and weather for your area, so you can always get non-stop, in-depth traffic and weather. This year, you'll get over 120 digital channels of music, news, sports, and talk. Check out XM Satellite Radio at stores like Best Buy and Circuit City. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
There's a resort called Give Kids the World, where children with life-threatening illnesses can fill their week with pure joy. Kids and their families indulge in simple pleasures like swimming, visiting local Orlando theme parks, and eating unlimited ice cream, all for free. Call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org and help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
With an eye towards November's election, the Bush administration is revising its planned overhaul of the nation's overtime rules to reduce the paychecks of far fewer white-collar workers logging more than 40 hours a week. The plan to be previewed today by Labor Secretary Elaine Chao also would make more white-collar, lower-income workers newly eligible for overtime, said Republican officials. Speaking on the condition of anonymity, police, firefighters, and emergency medical technicians are identified as jobs that will not lose overtime eligibility. State Secretary Colin Powell is denying that he was out of the loop with regard to the administration's early plans to invade Iraq. The assertion had been contained in journalist Bob Woodward's new book. Powell says all the cabinet members were committed to staging war if all diplomatic efforts for a peaceful solution fail. And journalist Woodward last night told CNN's Larry King Live that State Secretary Colin Powell does not have a chance at surviving a second term in a Bush White House. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hi, I want to thank you for remembering to recycle, and I want to let you know the recycling program has been completely restored. Every week we're now collecting glass bottles and jars, along with plastic bottles and jugs, metal cans, aluminum foil, beverage cartons, and drink boxes. And don't forget to recycle your mixed paper and corrugated cardboard. Just set out recyclables in clear bags or your recycling containers. If you have any questions or need container decals, please call 311.
Thanks for doing your part, New York.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I'm a wife, a mother, and I'm on a waiting list for a double lung transplant.
A lung disease is threatening Robbie's life.
I've had cystic fibrosis all my life, but now my future depends on getting a transplant. My lung capacity is at 26%, so if a healthy, normal person would shut down three-quarters of their lungs, that's what I'm functioning on. As my health has declined, I miss some of the things that I love to do with my daughter. Bike rides, taking long walks, rake leaves in the fall and run and jump in them with her.
Right now, tens of thousands of people are waiting, like Robbie, for an organ or tissue transplant.
My driving motivation is my daughter and being there for her. It's hard to imagine a greater gift than the gift of life from an organ donor. It means life. I get to keep living.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Many women today are not aware that legal abortion in the United States hangs by a 5-4 margin in the Supreme Court. And though Americans overwhelmingly support a woman's right to choose, that right is being eroded every day. Hi, I'm Melissa Etheridge, and this is your wake-up call. I'm a feminist because I believe in reproductive freedom. I'm standing up with women from around the country in this world, women whose lives are endangered by restrictive U.S. policies. Join the March for Women's Lives on April 25th in the nation's capital. We want to make it the biggest protest that Washington, D.C. has ever seen. Now, if you're thinking it's a lot of trouble to get out to march in Washington, D.C., think about how much trouble it will be if they take away your right to choose. For more information, go to feminist.org. That's feminist.org. It's time to make some noise.
Good morning. I'm Mark Riley, along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Maron, here on Air America Radio. It's 7 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, we've got Congressman Charles Rangel on hold, plus we're expecting a fact from Barbara Streisand. But right now, I've got Sue Ellicott and Mark Maron with me.
Good morning.
Wow.
He's been eating his microphone.
I'm playing my boom.
Ooh.
No,
yeah,
no,
please don't do this.
Chris is like, no, dude, no. Don't you understand? It's like John Cage music. It's like Brian Eno. These are textures of sounds. I'm bringing something from, you know, it's not just regular radio here. Here, guess what this is? That's a paperclip that I'm rubbing on top of the mic. And that mixed with this. You see that? I'm a genius.
Sounds like music for film from
clearly, TV. Clearly not enough sleep. You know, clearly working on very. You know, all I'm thinking about right now, aside from the idea that George Bush might be really, you know, take a hit for the $700 million that he stole behind Congress's back. He took it away from those Afghani warlords because he figured that they'd get the, you know, the kickback from you know reopening the heroin industry and getting that up to speed like it was during his father's reign, and you know, moving that $700 million into our. I'm just so excited that he might actually, you know, take a hit. He might take a real hit. Yeah, and he's taken a lot of little hits, but I'm hoping he'll take a real hit. And outside of that, what I've been thinking about is I started to realize, like, I'm on radio. I'm like a troglodyte. I'm like a cave dweller. I don't live in the real world anymore. So I was thinking, why not get a mohawk and grow a beard? What do you think?
The beard's coming along. The beard's coming along. And
I want to be a strange mountain punk of some kind. Am I too old for that?
Never too old for that, are you?
I guess so. I guess it's too hot for the beard, but the mohawk would be right? But not like a big old mohawk. I'm not going to grease it up or paint it colors or, you know, listen to The Clash again, you know. Did that when I was younger. But it's not a bad idea, is it?
Well, I don't know if it's a bad idea. I mean, do you really want to live in isolation? Do you want to live next door to Dick Cheney or something out in Wyoming?
No, I'm going to stay here in this cave with you guys.
Oh, okay. But
I might just, you know,
drive us nuts.
A mountain man
and not the vice president.
And Mohawk. And maybe, you know, I don't know, get a couple tattoos.
Okay, Mr. Bickle.
I haven't gotten any, Mr. Bickle. And a gun.
You can tell me who Mr. Bickle is afterwards. Anyway,
taxi driver.
Taxi
driver. Okay. All right. Okay, all right. Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. We've got some more.
Is it okay? Is
yeah,
it right?
No, I finally won a film I've actually seen.
Okay.
We're just going to talk about a continued fallout from the Bob Woodward book, Plan of Attack, and the window it gives into the further personality politics and the disagreements at senior levels inside the White House. And you know, how he basically, he said in his book, you know, spoke to George Bush, the only guy on record, and 75 other people in the administration. And the book, you know, clearly, in his interview on 60 Minutes and extracts that came out the last few days, shows that Dick Cheney and Colin Powell were not in agreement about whether to go to war, and Colin Powell seemed to be the guy, clearly, who did not really want to go. Powell is now trying to backpedal, frankly, and improve his appearances on this. And we've got a soundbite of what he said to the Associated Press yesterday. Pass these words, folks.
I was committed as anyone else to see the end of this regime, the destruction of a regime that put people in mass graves and that had weapons of mass destruction, we believed at the time. We've learned that certainly they had the capability for weapons of mass destruction. And so my support was willing and it was complete.
This is where military training comes into usefulness, that you can dodge the bullets, Colin. I mean, he said, didn't say I was for the war. He said he was for the end of the regime. I mean, everybody was for that. The question was always, how do you do it? Do you take Saddam Hussein out? And the CIA has made clear that they weren't up for that. So,
God, all that well-designed talking. You know, I mean, you were right earlier about the way he designs his language. They all design their language, or whoever.
They all do, but it's getting more and more
evasive.
Evasive, very, very, very careful indeed.
But Cheney, it's clear in the excerpts from that book, was just a maniac, just like, you know, grinding his teeth, walking around with, you know, his, like, you know, motorized heart saying, Iraq, we're going to take it, we're doing it. Who's not on board?
The,
you, Powell?
The book says that Cheney had his eyes set on Iraq before the inauguration of George Bush, not just after Afghanistan, not just after 9/11, but before the inauguration.
Since the first George Bush. I mean, I think Cheney's had his eyes on Iraq for years.
I tell you, I miss Madeleine Albright. I mean, all of these books coming out with the bragging and the bitching and the power grabbing and the aggression, all these kind of jerky guys on the administration, is that I really miss Madeleine.
Have we heard anything from Cheney about this book?
I called him, nothing.
Over in China, I think, but it's an interesting question what he's going to say when he gets back. Joining us now to talk about Bob Woodward's revelations and much more is the dean of the New York State Congressional Delegation, Congressman Charles Rangel. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
All right. How you doing? Say good morning, Mark and Sue.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Congressman?
Hello. Congressman, let me ask you right off the top. The administration has said that it was within the law to divert $700 million from the effort to deal with al-Qaeda in Afghanistan to the potential war in Iraq. What do you think?
I think they violated the separation of government. The purse strings are controlled by the Congress. The Vietnam War could continue today if the administration could reallocate appropriations that were earmarked for one particular thing and they use it for something else. In any event, today on the House floor, Dave Obey, who's the senior Democrat of the Appropriations Committee, will be making a case, I hope not for Democrats, but I hope for the House, because what is happening here is not just a partisan thing, it's given the executive branch the ability to do what it wants, and it ignores really the constitutional rights of the Congress.
Is there any chance that you will get some bipartisan measure out of this? Are there Republicans who are prepared to back you on this?
Mark, we haven't been in session for a week because of the Easter recess, and we will find out today. can tell you this, that more and more Republicans in the world conservatives have been embarrassed, not only in the revelations as to how we got involved in this war in Iraq, but the performance and the explanations of the president.
He sort of made liars out of all of them, didn't he, Congressman?
Well, the fact that that he gets on television, you know, these press conferences.
Oh, my God, that was ridiculous.
It's really not helping him at all. And we have members of the cabinet now that, you know, that have come out, and O'Neill had made it abundantly clear that the president wasn't focused on reality, but Saddam Hussein. We had Richard Clark, who made it clear that the president had an obsession with Saddam Hussein, and and why any president would give the type of extensive interviews with a reporter, as Bush did, to show that he had an obsession with Saddam Hussein. So even those people who politically want to support him are embarrassed now by the president's performance.
Congressman, given that the American public really couldn't get their heads around the whole Iran-Contra scandal, I mean, how likely is it they're going to really get angry enough to press for something to happen about the $700 million that Bob Woodward claims was diverted from Afghanistan to Iraq?
Well, I wish I had an answer to that. If,
Isn't it kind of depressing?
Not outraged about the 700 men and women that have been killed in Iraq, or the 3,000 maimed, blinded, and wounded around the United States in hospitals, if the religious community doesn't see a moral violation, if the legal community cannot see how the constitutional rights of Americans are being violated, I just don't know what it takes. I would like to believe that sooner or later, Americans would say enough is enough, and
I'm not seeing that.
I'm not either, to be honest with you, but the faces of all of these young people that are being killed, the families of the reservists who soon will be 40% of our troops in Iraq, many of those who lost their jobs, some have lost their families, the fact that we have not-for-profit charitable organizations providing food for some of the survivors of those that were lost because they come out of low-income communities. I think, like everything else, you know, some people would have us to believe that America didn't know that 6 million Jews were being killed.
Congressman, we got to take a quick break, okay?
Right.
When we come back, Mark Maron will talk to Congressman Charles Rangel, talk a little bit about impeachment. Right here on Air America Radio.
Air America Radio, home of weapons of mass entertainment-related activities.
We go to the home of the elderly and disabled people.
We cook for them. We look out for their health.
It's hard work.
I love caring for them, but we get so little. So little.
Not even $7 an hour.
These are the voices of New York's home health aides. Every day, the loving care they give to the sick, the elderly, and the disabled allows them to live with dignity in their own homes. But for New York's home health aides, life is a constant struggle. It shouldn't be. The government pays agencies over $17 an hour for home care, but just $7 goes to the workers who provide it. Just $7 an hour, less than $14,000 a year, most with no health care for themselves or their families. It's shameful. Shouldn't their work earn more than a life of poverty? Don't New York's home health aides deserve a living wage? Paid for by $11.99 SEIU.
Hey, this is Darius Rucker and the boys from Hootie and the Blowfish. We have an important message for you. If you're an adult, 21 or over, it's fine to have a drink while you're enjoying an evening with good friends. What's not right is overdoing it. When you drink too much, you're probably not quite as much fun as you think.
Yeah, if you do drink, please do it responsibly. If you go out with a group and there's going to be drinking, have a designated driver. Don't you think, Dino?
Mark is right.
The good news is that the most recent statistics show that underage drinking is declining. They also show the lowest levels of traffic deaths involving alcohol since they started keeping track.
But we can all do more, Dean. It's Sony, asking you to remember that we all need to do our part by drinking responsibly and keep things going in the right direction.
This message is brought to you by the members of the National Beer Wholesalers Association, committed to encouraging responsible consumption of its products.
Welcome to Classes on Tape.
Okay.
Let's begin. Open your color-coded guidebooks to the yellow section.
Yellow.
Encouraging phrases. Ready?
Oh, wait. I don't have my...
Now, repeat the following phrase. Son, you did great on that test.
Son?
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, son, you did great on that test.
How did you do? Try it again.
Son, you did great on...
Again.
Son, you did great
again.
On that... Look, wait. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Son, you're so proud. And that's a great test.
It's really not that difficult. In fact, encouraging your kids to stay in school is something every parent can do. Talk to them. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Unfiltered.
Who doesn't believe that being in a relationship is indeed work? It should have protected rights. I think I found a way around the whole gay union.
But who do we negotiate with? Who do we do collective
Each
bargaining with?
Each other.
Liz Winstead, Chuck D, and Rachel Maddow.
Oh, God.
That's what a relationship is, Rachel. I can't believe yours has lasted 5 years, not knowing this. Oops.
Air America's Unfiltered. Weekdays 9 to noon on Air America Radio.
It's 21 past the hour. This is Mark Maron with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America's Morning Sedition. We've got Congressman Charlie Rangel standing by, but right now it's time to reveal the top secret contents of the Intelligent Community's Presidential Daily Briefing for Tuesday, April 20th. Today's PDB is entitled Morning Sedition to Call for Impeachment Proceedings. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that the Morning Sedition program on Air America Radio is trying to enlist Congressman Charles Rangel to call for impeachment proceedings against, well, you. It is also our belief that they might enlist the help of a dangerous weapon called the Constitution and an antiquated but still occasionally effective one known as public outrage in the immediate future. We suggest you stay on high alert and have a clean shirt and underwear handy in case you have to address the nation. That's today's PDB. Now, Congressman Rangel, are you there? Congressman Rangel, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What will it take to get you to spearhead a drive to impeach President Bush, sir?
Well, I'm spending so much time to make certain that we have an impeachment in November that I really don't want to get involved in any legislative drawn-out thing. Most people don't know that if we can just hold on to the states that we won in the last election and pick up one more, that we've got this thing made. You know, we're dealing with the first unelected president ever, one that's been appointed by the Supreme Court. If we can just keep our troops in line and get people not angry but registered and to get them to come out and to vote, we won't have to worry about impeachment.
But there definitely is a case to be made, and it should be put out to the people to get them sort of worked up enough to go register, don't you think?
I just really can't understand why there's not more outrage.
Maybe they're not getting the information properly. Maybe I don't know what it's going to take. Do you ever, like, when you're in Congress talking to the other guys, like, that press conference, you guys must have just laughed at him. I mean, he was like a clown.
I can't begin to tell you the number of Republicans that were embarrassed, but yet a lot of them is our president right or wrong. And we had a lot of that with the Democrats who voted to give the president the authority to have a preemptive strike. And the evidence wasn't there then, and it's not there now.
Yeah.
But still.
But this guy's such a doofus.
Congressman, well, I think maybe you should get Europeans to vote, because frankly, they seem incredibly angry about everything that President Bush does. Maybe they're, you know, unlike your preconceptions, there were all these kind of button-down, repressed types. Maybe we're all kind of, you know, hot and bothered and ready to go. We'll vote for you.
I'm not
in love with foreigners myself. You know, I really think Americans really should be the beacon of freedom and liberty and set the standard for so many others. And with all of the problems I have in this country, I have more problems with Europeans myself in terms of racism and prejudice. And I really thought that...
I'm trying to help you out there, not get an insult, Congressman.
I know that, and I appreciate it. It's just I love my country too much to want to join in with people who pile on to us when really they don't have a record that they should be particularly proud of themselves, anti-Semitism, racism, and all of the other problems that the whole world's facing. And I still have confidence just because we slipped up and got this guy in office doesn't mean that we as Americans shouldn't be proud of the accomplishments that we've made. And we do have a system where we can make changes. And maybe if you guys in Europe, wherever you're from, if we lose this one, I may join in with you. But I still think that Americans know what the right thing is and that we'll do it.
I moved here. It's a great country. But more Europeans do go and vote. Anyway, sorry, Mark Riley.
Well, Congressman,
but you don't vote for a lot of black folks over there, now, do you?
They got one or two.
Yeah, okay.
Congressman, let me ask you this. There are a lot of people, I've talked to them, they've called here on the radio station, who aren't really feeling John Kerry yet. I know that you've endorsed him. You originally endorsed Wesley Clark. You enthusiastically endorsed John Kerry. Are your constituents feeling John Kerry yet? Do they share his vision? Do they believe he can beat the president?
Well, I guess, Mark, I have to admit that right now I think we're in the phase of anyone but Bush, and on the recent television appearance, he didn't exactly come out of the television screen and snatch people and chase them to the polls.
What do we got to do to get him to do that? It's getting ridiculous already.
Well, I don't know. I do know that he's hearing more and more of this, I think the best thing we got going for us right now, and it should pick up soon, is George Bush. George Bush is our best campaign vehicle, and the more you see of him, the more you feel that we got to make a change.
But can people vote against Bush and not for Kerry? Can Kerry win if people don't share his vision?
Well, again, I am not a professional pundit, but those who monitor the presidential elections would tell you that 90% of Americans have made up their mind and it's pretty much divided, and that it's only 10% that's going to make the difference. And where that difference counts is really in about 8 states, which we only need to hold on to the states that we have and pick up one, and that most of the states are pretty much decided whether they're red or blue or Republican or Democrat.
Yeah, Congressman Marangle?
Yes.
What would George Bush have to do to get himself impeached at this point? It's getting ridiculous. I mean, something's got to shake people up. What do you think he'd have to do?
Well, listen, I know that's where you're going, I guess, this morning with your program, but what I'm trying to do is to concentrate on what I do best, and that is to try to get people to understand that they have an obligation to leave a legacy to their kids.
Right.
And I'm campaigning hard as hell. I'm going around the country. I'm raising money and doing the things that I do. There probably would be somebody somewhere along the line that would drop a resolution of impeachment. I've been there, done that with Richard Nixon. But right now, in answer to Mark's question, we only need to pick up one state, and so and if 90% of the people have made up their mind, I don't think you have to go the impeachment route. We can win this one with an election in November.
Congressman Charles Rangel, as always, great to talk with you.
Have a wonderful day.
You take care.
Thank you.
Don't go away. The liberal agenda is coming up courtesy of Mark Maron. Plus, we'll talk to you on the phones when we come back here on Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman, the top executive of Royal Dutch Shell Group Company, declares that he's sick and tired about lying about Shell's inflated oil and gas reserves. The admission was contained in an email. It's one of the latest developments coming out of the probe into Shell's admitted overstatement of the size of its reserves. So far, no autopsy is planned for the late chairman and CEO of the fast food chain McDonald's. Jim Cantalupo suffered a fatal heart attack yesterday while holding a franchisee's convention in Florida. Reports say he had been an advocate for the consumption of cheeseburgers, but was somewhat of a workaholic. He's the second chair of a fast food chain to die within the last couple of years of his 60s. More signs of a tough labor market. ABC News reports that many seasoned displaced professionals and college grads are having to consider menial labor, like flipping burgers or hacking taxis to earn a buck. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Hi, I'm Cindy Thompson for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. To some, it's just not country music without hard drinking and fast driving. But real life's not always a song. And in less time than it takes to play the latest country hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Sue Ellicott here on Air America Radio. It's 31 minutes past the hour, right here with Mark Maron and Mark Riley. Okay, a few little stories we're going to take a look at today. One, anybody notice when they filled in their tax returns the other week? I got an extension, so I didn't notice this until I saw today on the bottom of the tax forms, the internal, that's my British tax return, the IRS.
What's it called? Inland Revenue?
The Inland Revenue. Here's the internal revenue, right?
Wait, it's much shorter.
Inland, as opposed to at sea. The IRS has a little note on the bottom of its tax return forms. America has a choice, it said. It can continue to grow the economy and create new jobs, as the president's policies are doing, or it can raise taxes on American families and small businesses, hurting economic recovery and future job creation.
And then right now, at the bottom, it said, enjoy filling out your forms. Have fun.
It didn't have a say, you know, approved and sponsored by George Bush for the Bush re-election campaign, but it, you know, it may as well have had that on there. The Treasury Department, that is the department that oversees the IRS, says this is appropriate, that it's okay to put the administration's views on fiscal policy at the bottom of the form. Why don't they just write, vote for Bush, tick here, and we'll give you a another $200 credit.
They say it's appropriate because the IRS is overseen by the government and that they have every right to use it?
It's a new word, a new use of the word appropriate. If we agree with it, then it's appropriate.
Right.
Appropriate to us.
That's sort of like those things they released in news stations about the new health plan about for seniors. You remember they released all that footage to news stations as news, you know, touting.
Well, they get away with it. And see, the IRS, were it not for this, were it not for the scrutiny, would have gotten away with this. I mean,
they're dirtying the reputation of one of our great institutions.
But apparently they
the IRS is such a revered thing. How dare they drag the IRS through the mud with their shameless campaigning?
It's the same thing for Medicare TV ads, apparently.
Well, that's what I was just talking about.
Oh, okay.
You know, they released. Where were you?
I don't know. I was just facing out. I was going back into. I was in some kind of dream, pre-coffee, kind of early morning.
Yeah, they released all that stuff, but they were called on that it was actors and it wasn't real news footage. But the scary thing was how many news stations played along with that. That they took it and put it on the air as a news story, knowing what it was, because they were, pro-Bush or pro-message of the Republicans.
But I mean, it really takes a lot of guts for the IRS, which is supposed to be a nonpartisan agency here. We're not talking about the Bush reelection campaign. Karl Rove doesn't run the Treasury.
It's an unaffiliated
yet.
Evil.
Yet, Mark.
And yet, here we have some, you know, the IRS shilling for the President of the United States.
Oh, but come on.
If they had done it under Bill Clinton.
This is not the cuddly agency.
No, but if they had done it with Bill Clinton, what do you think Republicans would have said?
They ran him up the poll for everything.
Of course.
Everything. That guy couldn't go to the bathroom without someone going, he's doing it wrong, let's get him.
But suppose in 1996, the IRS, when they send out their form, said, well, you know, Bill Clinton's economic policies have contributed to this enormous growth we're having in the country. What would the Republicans, what would Phil Graham and the people who were in Congress at that, what would they have said about that?
They'd have ripped him down.
Yeah. They absolutely would have.
But the thing is, it's like, I don't know how this scam keeps going because there isn't that much growth. Things aren't that much better. And I mean, who are they really kidding? You know, I mean, it's like the truth. It's like this guy, when Bush's campaign spokesman, when they were referring to Kerry, you know, talking about the environment the other day, he spoke about, you know, just how deregulation and the sort of the mutation of the current laws is leading to more pollution. And that's a fact, right? Mm-hmm. So this guy Schmidt says that Kerry's running a campaign of pessimism. Oh, you mean the truth is too negative? You know, no truth,
no,
too
no,
negative.
No, it's all about deluding the people. So we want to be happy, happy, happy.
Of course, but...
Just make everybody feel happy, happy, happy. This great country, Americans are fantastic, decent, wonderful. Everything's about complimenting everybody, making everybody feel good. I mean, look,
The thing is, they take these things that people don't think a lot about. We were talking about this earlier, is that a lot of things are too confusing for a lot of people,
right,
myself included.
All the congressional stuff.
But just about
spending
everything,
bills.
Not just congressional stuff. I mean, you know, what laws are being passed, you know, what things are being changed on the legal basis. I mean, it's a lot of information that is not that sexy, you know, or that interesting to a lot of people. So when they start just saying this, that someone's being pessimistic, if you listen to their message without knowing what he's talking about, you could be like, wow, that is a little pessimistic. So they're really playing off people's worst sort of impulses about the truth.
But it's trying to say that anybody who's even cynical or realistic is pessimistic. And even Congress seems to be confused about these bills. I mean, I think, you know, one of the troubles they're going to run into in working out whether the Bush administration interpreted their powers accurately or not is that they rushed a lot of these spending bills through Congress very quickly after 9/11. So who knows what actually the loopholes are? I don't think that members of Congress even know.
In terms of the $700 million?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, well, you know what they'll do? They'll pull Jim Baker back in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then whenever they need legal help, they pull the devil back in. Jim Baker is Satan, man. There's no question in my head, and I've always thought that if he's lingering around anywhere, there's evil being done.
Yeah, he has been in sort of low profile. Much more, he's up to something.
Isn't he back in the Saudi royal family?
I'm sure he is.
I think he is, actually.
Yeah. Bendar.
Bendar
and his magic sword will slash the oil prices. Man, what did I say yesterday? The Bushes are Bendar's bitches.
There you go.
And Baker, oh, man, yeah, there I go.
It's true. Howard Baker probably had some role in all of this oil price.
James Baker, the third.
Mr. Florida.
Yeah, man. He's just, every time he's around, he scares me from the TV screen. Like, you know, I see him and I pick up, my skin burns a little bit.
And look, here's a story that will show you how jobs are just not happening. It's something from ABC News saying that more taxi drivers in New York now have college degrees. That they spent some time interviewing their cab drivers. Lucky, I guess, they could afford to be taking cabs, and found a guy who'd been laid off work for 18 months, who was an accountant who couldn't find any other job, a television producer, somebody who...
I had an airline pilot the other day. My cab driver was an airline pilot from Argentina.
But, you know, they're trying to point out that this is, I guess their point is that these are kind of... white Americans. I mean, always you've been driven around in New York by incredibly kind of overqualified scientists, people with, master's degrees from, Pakistan, the Ukraine, people who come here. They're amazingly accomplished.
No, this guy's
been
here
for years.
They just
don't know where to take you. Yeah. They're actually qualifications, their university qualifications are very impressive, but they haven't a clue where they're driving.
So they can't get work.
Yeah, these are guys driving now who've given up They just said they've looked for so long. They've been laid off for 18 months. They've, you know, I guess they've gone to employment agencies. They can't find anything at all. And they are taking taxi driver jobs in New York because they just have to get by. They have families. They need to pay their bills.
Well, that's exciting to, you know, to have a whole new team, you know, sort of team of, you know, academic smart cabbies.
Yeah, depressed cab drivers who want to do something else but can't get jobs. That's not too happy.
I feel bad for them, but, you know, it is going to be interesting that, what am I going
to
say?
I guess it's a good time because cab fares are about to go up, aren't they, on the first
of
May.
Yeah, and that'll mean
the
cab driver's revenue will also go up, so that'll mean more people who can't find work in other places will end up driving cabs.
This Argentinian airline pilot that I had the other day was all worked up, man. He has, like, he has three jobs. He was trying to buy a parking lot. He's got, like, I couldn't quite make out what he was saying, but there's, like, four or five women involved. There was a parking lot deal that fell through, and he can't get a job flying airplanes. Like, it couldn't have been his temperament, man. The guy was raging. But not. It's a little off the point. And I feel bad for the academics that can't get jobs in academia and have to drive cabs. You used to drive a cab to get through school. Now I guess, you know.
Now you have to go to school and be unemployed to get to drive a cab. It'll just mean that more people who've come here from other countries to try to get work presumably won't be able to you know, afford the fee to drive the cabs because other people
What is it called? A hack license.
What is going to happen? They just sold a whole bunch of taxi medallions.
Right.
And got a huge, but they sold two of them for 700 some odd thousand dollars.
For two?
For two. 350 some odd thousand.
Individuals don't buy those. Taxi.
Some individuals do. The majority are groups.
They're shared. Right?
The majority are either shared or fleet, or they belong to fleets. They're starting to sell the individual ones, I believe, next week. Now, once you have that, for example, if a group has that, then they have three shifts that go around, and there's three more cabbies that are able to find work.
They just need more people on between 3 and 4 in the afternoon.
That's one thing you don't hear.
When you can't ever get a cab, especially
if it's
raining.
That's the changing shift time. That's what you never hear about are the cabbie cells throughout the city. That there are literally cells of people that live like five or six in an apartment that share the same cab, and they just switch off. It just never stops running. They wake the next guy up, and he goes out. There are dudes in my building that do that.
Oh, yeah.
They share a cab.
Kind of like Master and Commander. You know, they're on the deck.
Yeah. I mean, at a point, cabbies, and I love cabbies. I mean,
you know, best.
Medallion, gypsy, whatever. I really do. But there's always been questions about how much it's cost in New York versus other cities. Other cities, you can get a hack license for $20.
Let me say, it's about half what it costs in London. They're cheap here.
And there's so many cabs here, too. I mean, it must be really hard for those cats to make money.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. We're going to be asking whether you think President Bush should be impeached. Your reaction to Congressman Charles Rangel. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270 right here on Air America Radio.
Air America Radio, where no child is left behind for more than a minute or two.
Introducing Venture Magazine, the progressive voice for the next generation of market makers. Hi, I'm Kevin Halloran, publisher of Venture, the magazine of risk and reward, where opportunity is seized on every page and where new ideas spring to life. For a free trial issue of Venture, call 866-MY-ISSUE and learn how Samsung steps into the cool as a serious threat to Sony, or how the hidden wealth of Vietnam may fuel the best investment opportunity of the year. In this issue of Venture, you'll discover the emergence of nanotechnology and separate science fact from fiction. Experience intimacy in the City of Angels at the Frank Gehry Design Disney Hall and enjoy the new American splendor. For those who have achieved, those who desire to succeed, and those who dream, Venture is your magazine. Call 866-MY-ISSUE to start your subscription or learn about employment, investment, and partnership opportunities. And remember, in business and in life, always Venture.
Welcome to the Hot House Cafe. What can I get you?
Hello, Flo.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Wildfire. You're looking incendiary today. What can I get you, sweet pea?
Let's see. I'm so hungry I could consume a neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
I think I'll start with the toasted woodshed shingle sandwich.
All right. Super salad, baby doll.
And the backyard dry brush salad looks delicious. I'll have that.
Okie dokie. With or without succulents?
Without. You know I can't stand water-retaining plants.
Oh, that's right.
And for dessert, I'd like an old gazebo sundae, sprinkled with irreplaceable photos and family heirlooms.
Anything to drink, Father?
Lawnmower gasoline. Unless you have some carelessly stored paint thinner.
I think we just might.
Goodie.
Knowing what Wildfire likes to eat is half the battle. Visit firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. That's firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Planet check. Eco victory for Yellowstone Park. Federal Judge Emmett Sullivan says no go to snowmobiles.
The judge determined that the ruling of the Bush administration was in violation of the intent of the Organic Act of the National Parks. The levels of snowmobiles in either case were outrageously high, given the mandate to protect Yellowstone irreparably for future generations.
That's Alfred Runty, author of National Parks, The American Experience.
The big environmental hazard has been to the wildlife and to the quality of the air. But there's a more fundamental issue, and that is, why have snowmobiles in the national parks in the first place? We're supposed to go there and enjoy nature.
The court ruling marks the beginning of a phase-out of snowmobiles in Yellowstone.
Snowmobiles are cut back in half for this year, from 900 to 460. Some machines. Next year, there will be a total elimination of snowmobiles.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Laura Flanders.
There will be more American contractors. Do you think people outside the military, NGOs, contractors, can accomplish things that the military can't? And what's your take on this whole discussion that's really blown up in this last week as we saw military contractors, private civilian personnel, killed in Fallujah?
Laura Flanders, Saturday night from 7 to 10 on Air America Radio.
Hi, it's Mark Maron here on Air America's Morning Sedition with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. Is that the Strokes? You know, I didn't like them at first, but now I'm starting to like them.
They're okay as long as you listen to a whole album and they get a bit too boring.
I am a huge Velvet Underground fan, so there was always that part of me, like Velvet Underground and Television, like all the bands that they sort of drew their sound from, I was really into. So there's, you go through that phase with bands like that where you're like, you guys just ripped off the real dudes. You know, these guys are just stealing it. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, but they kind of, you know, they kind of made it their own and made it modern. I kind of like them. And then I never listened to them. But,
That's the best track on that album.
Give us a call at 866-303-AAR0. That dial that zero. It's not 11 numbers, however many. 866-303-2270. Give us a call if you want to impeach Bush or about anything you want to talk about, man. We're coming in for landing here on Morning Sedition. And we like to chat with you folks on the phone. We got Jack in Connecticut. Jack.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Here's my comment briefly. Joe Biden, who I consider a wimp.
Smart guy, though.
Who cares?
All right.
About 6 months ago, said, quote, if Bush was Clinton, the Republicans would have torn his skin off, which is a very painful comment, right? Getting his skin torn off?
It is painful, yeah.
Yeah.
Why has Biden not torn Bush's skin? Why has no Democrat, except basically for Kennedy, in the last months and months and months, not torn Bush's skin off? The guy is so crooked. He's so crooked, he's straight.
I think they probably just want to make him, you know, dig his own hole. I mean, they figure that they just want to... They don't want to make this race look even more ugly and angry and partisan than it's already looking. They figure they'll just back off and let George Bush sink himself.
I don't think that's true. I think they're afraid for their own political futures. I really don't think that they want to have to explain themselves if it backfires in their face. I think the Democrats, you know, can be pretty spineless when it comes to that. They're opportunists. They're not as focused as the Republicans, and a lot of times they don't take the hits that they don't take the slugs, the punches that they should, because they're really afraid of their own political ambitions. And I don't know if that's corrupt, but I think it's just the way that town works. But at this point in history, they should certainly come together and find a little collective courage and start taking some punches.
But if they
not taking punches, I mean hitting.
Throwing punches, sorry. Let's go next to John, who's calling us from the Bronx.
Hello.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I love Charlie Rangel. I love what he talks about, but I couldn't disagree with him more about the whole concept of impeachment. Simply throwing the guy out of office in November and electing a Democrat, that does nothing for the Republicans. That just makes Bush a martyr. And it says that he still is right, What needs to happen is the Republicans need to realize how wrong the man is. They need to be embarrassed by their president, much like they tried to embarrass the Democrats for Clinton when they tried to impeach him.
How could they not be embarrassed? I mean, did you see that guy in that press conference?
Oh, it was horrible.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, like, I hate the guy, and when I see him on TV, my skin crawls. But I was so ashamed of him that night and so freaked out that I was embarrassed. I had to go to the other room because he was failing so badly.
Yeah, but did you read all the reports of all the media reports and all the pundits talking about what a wonderful job he did and how decisive
it's
he was?
It's crazy. They're like delusional.
They don't all talk about that, though. The conservative guys do, but
that's
not
what
he's
talking about.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely nuts. But they're not going to be embarrassed by him unless all this stuff really comes out, unless proceedings happen. And proceedings aren't going to happen. There's no way on earth they're even going to attempt to impeach Bush. But something's got to happen to shake this up, and the Republicans have to realize that they're backing the wrong horse.
I just want somebody within the Democratic world to call him on this and get together and really make a case that, you know, that this was a heinous transgression, the $700 million.
Well, you know, Kerry has been saying stuff, but that's not good enough?
But, I mean, it's like, I mean, make, you know, I mean, he should say it with some real, like, you know, punchy, man. Punch it up, dude. You know, call the guy to the, you know, to the mat or whatever they're saying is. I'm bad at saying.
Well, but he is having problems with his kind of wordy lack of oomph, that's true.
He needs some B12 shots, man. Somebody, you know, where's Dr. Nick?
He needs James Carville.
Double espresso. Let's get some callers. 1-866-303-AAR0. That's 1-866-303-2273. Oh, let's go to Greg.
Brian. All right, Greg.
Oh.
We just talked to Greg.
Okay, Brian in Long Island.
Yeah, hi. I voted for Bush in the last election, and thanks to your radio station, I have a lot of doubts about, you know, my choice. But since the Charlie Rangel conversation, you all agreed that anybody but Bush is not going to win the election. And up until about 30 seconds ago, I hadn't heard Kerry's name mentioned since that interview, and I think you need to do a lot more talking about building up Kerry. You're doing a great job about building doubts in the minds of people like myself about Bush, but not enough in building up Kerry.
We need Kerry to build himself up a little bit as well.
Yeah.
We certainly, you know, I believe in where Kerry, you know, stands on things, but I really want him to capture the, you know, the hearts and minds of people like you. You know, and I just think that he needs to step up a little bit, and I think the other Democrats need to step up behind him and really make this message collective.
Not only that, contrary to popular belief, John Kerry doesn't pay us.
That's right.
The Democrats don't pay us. I mean, John Kerry is supposed to have people that he pays to balkanize and pump up.
Who
his
does
message.
Pay us? I'm not even clear on that.
To balkanize, that's a good one.
Yeah. Let's go next to Larry, who is calling us from Long Island. Larry.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi, Larry.
I have two comments. One is that if you impeach Bush, you have to impeach Cheney, too, because if he gets into office instead of Bush, we're worse off than we are now.
And then doesn't Colin Powell get to be president? Let's just impeach all the way down to Powell and see what he really has to say.
Yeah, I think more effective would be to declare all of them as enemy combatants and put them in Guantanamo.
Yeah,
okay.
Not give him a lawyer any rights, but
submit them to the terms of the Patriot Act.
John DeLay would be next, by the way. If Cheney and Bush, oh, that's right, Dennis Hastert, not DeLay. Dennis Hastert would be the president of the United States if both Cheney and Bush were to go.
Oh, then he's got to go, too. We got to keep going down until we get
down the food chain. It would be real far down. Thank you very much for that call. And who do we go to next? Let us go to
Keith in Colorado. Can we do Keith in Colorado?
Yeah.
I'm very excited that someone's listening in Colorado. How are you, Keith? What's going on?
Hey, you guys. Thanks for being on the air out here.
Oh, we're glad to be there. What do you listen to us on streaming it on the web?
I'm streaming on the web, but you should be coming to Boulder, which is right close to here soon.
Oh, yeah, soon. It's the next couple of days, I think. Thanks a lot, man.
I sent you guys an email this morning about my prayer for the president. I don't know if you saw that, but after listening to your conversation with the congressman, I was pretty upset. I mean, it just goes to show that the Democrats in the House really don't have the stones to say the things that need to be said about this president.
The stones? I've never heard him called that, but I like that. I wish they'd all get on the same page and really start making an uproar of some sort. I mean, it's got to have some momentum. If all of them got together and really stood up to those guys, If there are that many Republicans on the fence, they should be able to pull them over a little bit.
Are they just unfocused, just too reasonable, disorganized?
I don't know. I think maybe they're waiting. Hopefully they're waiting for their moment, because if there are that many Republicans on the fence about this president and about what's going on, you know, in the world and within the administration, then they might be waiting for an opportune time to really, you know, pull those guys
over. The Republicans are not going to cross George Bush in April. Trust me. That's not going to
happen. Not even four of them?
Not four of them. Not two of them. Not one of them. Now, in October,
not
maybe.
Depressing.
If his candidacy is up in flames in October, maybe.
So you're saying maybe,
maybe
this timing. Maybe
right
this
now,
timing.
The numbers are impossible as far as impeachment is concerned. Now, you may be able to get him right after the election in November if he wins, but for right now, you don't try and impeach somebody during election year.
Well, that's what this guy Dan says in Chicago. Dan, are you there?
Hey,
the
conversation's going to exactly what I was talking about to your I don't know the guy on the radio.
Okay.
But
guy.
I in Chicago.
Yeah. Okay. Right on. What's up?
I'm thinking that a lot of the inaction from the Democrats is also a matter of timing. I mean, these guys are worried it's a little far away from the election, and this administration seems to have a charmed life of, good news when they need it, or faking good news when they need it. And I think a lot of the Democrats are scared that if they attack too early,
they're going to make them look like a bunch of, disrespectful, mutts.
Not only that, they wheel out bin Laden in October.
Yeah, right. The frozen bin Laden will make an appearance.
And then another thing, just a thought. When Bush was going on, and he got Powell into his camp, I think that solidified a lot of the moderates out there who had a lot of questions about this guy who really had no experience.
Right.
And from something I thought of yesterday on the Al Franken show. What if Kerry offered a cabinet position to John McCain?
Well, I think that McCain pretty much said he wouldn't have anything to do with any of that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because at one point there was some talk about McCain for vice president.
Yeah, McCain said
he said no. But you know what? If John Kerry doesn't capture people's imaginations before the Democratic convention, they may, the Democrats may have to reach out to Hillary Clinton to run alongside him, because he
is. You think that could win?
I think it could. I think it could. Right now, I don't know if John Kerry by himself can.
I don't think it'll win with Hillary. I think it'll give the Republicans the chance. They just turn up all their anti-Clinton stuff and kind of fan all those flames. There's not enough gap yet between the end of that administration and the Hillary possibility.
I don't know. Right now, I don't know that he wins. He's got to do something. I don't know.
How about Beyonce?
Whoa.
Hey, look at that.
She's not old enough.
Here comes the facts from Barbara Streisand's compound. It's our liberal agenda for today. Here we go. Get your pens, get out your notebooks, because here we go, liberal soldiers. Write these down. Liberal agenda. One, replace president with angry black comedian from Def Jam. Rewrite slogan, beef, it's what's for dinner. Replace with soft blocks of tofu, it's what's allotted for our once-a-day mandatory feed. Watch reruns of Sanford and Son until guilty laughter subsides. Propose wearing of name tags reading, "Hi, I am a non-gender-specific parasite feeding off the labor of the third world." Write huge check to Male Menstruation Project.
To what?
The Male Menstruation Project.
Mm.
Menstruation Project? Male menstruation. Wait, Jonathan, just talking to me. You're going to say that people aren't going to know what menstruation is? Is that that's completely wrong? Menstruation Project. Write a check to them. Okay, good. Great. That really worked out well. Thanks for interrupting me in my head. I'm kidding.
Sure.
My producer. Yeah, no, it's been a wonderful show. And, I'm so happy I wasn't well rested, because it made me punchy and weird.
But you look good.
Thank you. You too.
For somebody who's done 3 hours on the radio this morning, you look good.
You look great. You're sitting down. You're casual. You've been doing this for years, so you're pro.
Well,
I'm standing up. I'm making noises on the microphone.
The beard's growing, though.
Beard's coming in.
Yeah, I think it got longer during the show.
I'm sure
you shaved that mohawk. Join us tomorrow on Air America when we'll talk to an American teenager who is in Canada because he is a deserter from the Army. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio.
Covad Broadband Service Rep Arne Lewick on music. On fashion. On art.
Love that guy.
And on business broadband.
Oh, the key to business broadband is the same as any business decision. You want the best product at the best price. At Covad, we have broadband that's built for business, unlike the local phone company, which specializes in residential plans, and we have it for less. Hundreds of dollars a year less. And that's for broadband from us, the business broadband experts. Now, don't even get me started on Covad's selection of broadband services. Fixed IP addresses for firewalls, for web and email hosting. Well, the list just goes on and
Arne
on.
Arne Lewick on politics. Business broadband. Covad knows it like nobody else. To get broadband built for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004 when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovad.com. Not available in all areas. Saving based on published rates March 10th, 2004.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
Hey, this is Rachel from Unfiltered on Air America Radio, where we promise you news and opinions you will not hear anywhere else, including on the rest of the network. It's unfiltered at airamericaradio.com. That's our email address. We always love